Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we wrap up our countdown of favorite Prince songs.
Oh man, I'm getting nervous.
Why?
I mean, what will I do if Shockadelica doesn't make the cut?
That's a good one.
All right. Not really, but it's okay. Okay, Patrick, we've made it this far. Now, some people, some listeners on the Prince Countdown might come in here. They might come in and say, like, I'd want to hear what the top ones are.
Right.
You know, I would recommend that you not do that. I'd recommend you go back and listen in order because it's, you know, it's fun that way to kind of see the reveal, the countdown. Also, get the vibe of the show because it, you know, you're going to hear a lot of listeners speaking. You're going to understand a little bit better how this virtual event took place where we recorded this countdown. You get to hear from some special guests. You know, you get to understand why there's a cricket chirping all the time. you know, all of that, right? You'll hear like who some of the people are who are speaking.
Yeah.
You know, get a little bit of background or setup on them. So all of that, I'm trying to sell the idea of going back, listening to the whole
listening week. Listening to everything. Well, it is important because you'll hear certain people shouting out in agony because their song didn't make number one or make the top three, right? They thought it would be a lot later in the actual week. So, you know, process elimination is fun.
Right. But if you are coming in fresh right here, then just understand that, you know, we recorded this virtual event. We did the top 15 countdown. It was based on a listener poll that we did that got lot of response. So it was great. And this is the top three. Or also at the end of this episode, you're going to hear us talk a little bit about songs that didn't make the top 15. So people got a chance to, you know, talk up a certain song that means something to them. So stick around for that. That's a good lively discussion as well.
Very much.
All right. And with that, it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And here is the thrilling conclusion to the Prince countdown. Okay. We are now into the top three.
Top three.
You ready for this?
I think so.
Kiss.
Not only my very favorite Prince song, definitely in the one of the top 10 songs of all time, and Mr. Patty's thing, you know, if I'm going to the desert island, I'm taking Kiss by Prince with me. One of my abiding memories, and I'll let other people speak, is that I was at a wedding once sometime in the early 90s, and it was getting late in the ceremony, and Kiss by Prince came on. And my good friend Andy and I and our wives sprinted to the dance floor. And for some reason, Andy and I started doing push-ups halfway through the song.
What?
Because we were so excited about the song being on. While our wives danced with each other, we just somehow dropped to the floor and started doing push-ups. And it lit up the dance floor. People were really excited that we were doing push-ups. And that's the kind of song this is. It just makes you go nuts, man. There's no bass on it. The guitar has basically no reverb. It's so tight. And it's just, it's very intimate, yet also completely gorgeous. It's my favorite Prince song.
Okay, so interesting. Despite what one of our friends is saying in the chat here on how he doesn't like the song, this is also my number one Prince song.
Oh, well,
look at that. This is number one for me.
Wow.
This is, to me, just a perfect song. It's like, it couldn't be any better. It's so, like, the sparseness is what makes it great. You know, it's like it just totally breaks down the whole idea of a pop song to like nothingness.
Yep.
And then just builds it up just enough.
Right.
To make it just like so good. You know, it's
and
just
teases it a little bit and has fun with it. Yeah.
I love this song so much. I can't get enough of it. Now, interesting backstory on this song is that, you know, Prince didn't really have this totally formulated in his mind. You know, he did a demo of it, and then he was actually going to give it to another band, this band called Maserati. We're going to record it, and they worked on it a little bit, and they came up with that kind of funk back, you know, backing music to it. And then presented it to him, and then he was like, no, I'm taking it back. So, and we're going to do it that way.
Of course.
And it's going to be on my record. Yeah. So, well, but he included them in the recording, so he gave them credit and so on and so forth.
Totally. But, that was part of what we've been talking about the whole time, you know, on this podcast and the countdown, that he assumed so many styles. He knew so many styles, yet he included people. We talked to Ricky, you know, many collaborators. I mean, we haven't talked about the Revolution and all, you know, all the bands he had, you know, that he credited. So totally.
Enrique Cruz in our chat here says this is his most James Brown song. And I think that's true.
Very
too, right?
True it's, as well.
That's,
yep.
That negative space yep. is so important in this song.
Totally,
right?
Man. Yeah. Yeah. You can just snatch it back and hold it on this tune, so without a doubt.
Any other thoughts on the song Kiss from the audience who are not Bud Verge?
This is BJ. Okay. I'm I know we had talked earlier or a week ago about space and music, but anyway, the this one, not only does the arrangement the instrument is very, very, very spacious, and the vocals are all sparse. But even the guitars, the frequencies have been smashed down. There's like some notch filtering going on, so that you're only getting part of the actual guitar sound to even make even more space.
Yeah.
So this is so minimal. It's amazing. Anyway, that's what I had to say. That's not just the instrumentation, but it's also how they were mixed and presented in terms of chopping off frequencies to make it even more spacious. I think I just said that. Anyway,
that's cool.
Well, totally cool. And I do want to read a comment here, Jim, from Justin Steiner.
Okay.
When he put his ballad in, he said, when I was a freshman in high school, I made the swing choir where we would sing and dance to choreographed routines because my voice had already dropped. I was the only freshman in the group. Kiss started getting airplay during the second semester, and I would entertain the group when we would bust to gigs by performing the song a cappella. Just a giant nerd singing along to Prince, trying to fit in and show the senior girl who I had a huge crush on that I was cool. So there you go. Thank you,
very
Justin.
Nice. Somebody mentioned this earlier, but this Prince had to convince the record label to release this song as a single. They were not buying it, maybe for the reasons we sort of mentioned. It doesn't sound like much of a
just about
pop
right.
song. It's not going to come through those stereo speakers, those car radio speakers,
right.
You know. He had to convince them, and it went to number one.
I mean,
so there you go.
Yeah, and also look at the video for this one, too, how he included Wendy and Lisa and the band, and, you know, it was great, man. He showed you that you didn't have to toe the line, and you could still do stuff your own way.
All right, we're moving on. Number two.
Told me several times that he
All right, Raspberry Beret. I don't have a whole lot to say about the song other than it's just a really great little pop song. I mean, I think that's been proven over the years, right?
Totally, man. And I gotta say, in complete honesty, I didn't really pay a lot of attention to this song, and I had this album and I played this album a lot, and I didn't really pay much attention to it until it was covered by Warren Zevon and REM as the Hindu Love Gods. Then I went back and listened to it and thought, yeah, it's pretty good. I can see why they would do that, and it's kind of funny. You know, it's just another great example of Prince's genius. Like, he could write a song, and maybe he did see a girl come in through the outdoor with a raspberry beret and write a song. Right. Probably.
It is. It, as far as story songs go, it's fun. You know, yeah. Like, it has good imagery to
totally,
it, and
man.
You can totally picture all the things that he talks about. And also, it's relatable, too. Everybody remembers being a kid working in some stupid job and...
Right.
Yeah, you hated it.
And it's easy to play. Yeah. Like, you can pick your guitar up and play the chords, and it's pretty easy.
Any thoughts out there from the gallery?
Well, it's kind of funny. This isn't really insightful, but in my first 10 songs I submitted this twice. And then I realized, hey, wait a minute, that would be a waste of my 10 choices. I got to put something else in there. And I actually don't remember what my other one, my substitute was, but I didn't have it in my top five, but it's a great song. And it's very, the lyrics are incredible and very insightful. So, and like you said, it's a great story song. That's it.
We have three people, Jim, who voted in this poll who mentioned the words perfect pop regarding Raspberry Beret.
Yeah.
So that says a lot.
I also love the fact that, like, there's this weird, like, the clap on the second of every measure or whatever.
Right.
It's Raspberry Beret.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
It's kind of like on the offbeat, right? It's weird, yeah.
It's two measures, and then it's the clap. And
yeah.
It's like, whoa, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it just kind of makes you wake up a little bit when you're listening to the song, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, sorry.
That's Brad Mailer, ladies and gentlemen. Great observation,
yes.
Brad. I totally know what you're talking about, too. But also, it's that... You know, what Brad said reminds me of that In Through the Outdoor line, like... Hey, wait a minute. I'm going to twist it up a little bit on you guys.
Well,
why do you think this song came in so high, Jim?
Well, because I just think it has a great melody, and it just sticks in your head. But here's the other thing I want to say about this song. I'm just thinking about this now. But two, also, when you're a kid and you're sort of like, you know, this frustrated male or whatever, like the girl in the Raspberry Beret, she's like the cool girl, right?
You know? That's true.
There's just something about this that's like very... You know, very inviting in this song, you know? And
are you saying we're all losers?
Well, I'm not going to speak for everyone else. I'm just going to tell you my perspective. But you know, there's something evocative about that, right?
Totally.
And it's not a hyper-sexualized song at all. It's not like the other things or anything. It's just a young love, I don't even know if it's a young love. It's like
of those falling in love across the room things that we all have. Yeah, totally.
Right. It's a crush. It's a young crush kind of song, right?
Yep.
It's kind of sweet in a way.
Yep.
And that idea that it's the cool girl. It's the one that maybe she's unattainable. We don't know. You know.
Yeah.
But,
you never know if you like John Hughes movies. Maybe
there's a
she
yearning
is
to this song that I think makes it even more interesting.
Well said.
You know, in some way. Yeah. Okay, let's move on here.
All right, so here we are,
gotta,
ladies
we got to wrap this up. Yeah, so there you go. There's numbers 15 through 2.
We're at 2 hours, so we're doing good.
And here we are with your number one Prince song as voted on by the listeners.
D till it's in bloom. Animals strike curious poses. They feel the heat between me and you. Just leave me standing. Alone in a world that's so cold. Maybe I'm just too demanding. Maybe I'm just like my father. Too bold. Maybe you're just like my mother. She's never
okay, When Doves Cry. I don't know, this is a huge surprise to people. huge hit song for Prince back in the day. And I will just say this from my perspective. When I heard this album and I was just so entranced by it, and this was one of the songs that, you know, was the reason for that. And it's just sonically, it's so weird. Like, it's just so crazy. You can't, like, not pay attention to that song. It's just so bizarre. And then there's like these lyrics like animals strike curious poses. Like, what is this song about? Right?
Right.
But yet you get in the sense of the song, like there's this like conflict, there's this drama, you know. It's like, even in the delivery of the song, it's like there's this tension in it. And then, you know, this idea of when doves cry, like the most like sort of delicate animal in the animal kingdom, right? And they're crying. It's like, what is going on? I can't take it. What is happening here in this song? So I think that's why it, you know, it sticks with us to this day.
Totally, man. And the opening of the song is just unforgettable. I mean, it's just like an electric shock to your system, the way this song begins. It's audacious. It's fantastic. And I had it on my top 10, and most people did, which is why it's number one.
I couldn't deny it. It was one of those deals where, like, I'm trying to, like, I can't pick all the hit songs, but there was no way I could leave this off.
One of the ones you have to have in there, yep.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to open this up. Any thoughts on When Doves Cry? And then we're going to get to some of the songs that didn't make it.
Yeah, you don't have a chance to talk BJ, about that. But... the whole song is tense. I love that comment. What do you have to say?
Everything about the song is tense. It's just like one long bit of tension. And then I'm just trying to think if there's any release. And I mean, a lot of songwriters or even producers will take a song and build the tension and then release it at some point. This song starts with that guitar explosion, which is tense, and then moves into the song that's really sparse, but is in a minor key and with really strange lyrics. And it just takes that tension and just keeps building it for the whole song. And it, as a attention grabber, I don't think you could really do anything more other than maybe cat juggling or something like that.
It commits suicide on stage.
Yeah, something like that. The whole thing is just tense, and that's what makes it brilliant. You don't need a whole lot of really much of anything. If you can build attention and create and weave a story with those tools, you know, I'll sleep when I'm dead type of thing.
Yeah.
It's just a lesson in tension, and there's no release until the song ends.
Okay, so real quickly here, while we finish up, I want to share with you. So here's my top 10. Can you guys? Okay, so as I mentioned, it was so hard for me. I couldn't really stray away from the hit songs. They're all kind of hit songs. I think 9 of my 10 made the top 15. The only one that didn't was "Play in the Sunshine,"
right?
Which is just a jam. Straight out jam. It's a great song. So I went pretty hit heavy on mine, and then Patrick, though not as much.
No,
right?
Totally different. Starfish and Coffee, I think, is fantastic. It's such a cool, weird song. Yeah, it's really good. Delirious is probably, you know, one of my favorite songs. I love the whole, you know, idea of I don't know, getting dizzy. Party Up, I first heard by the band Spoon. They covered it on a B-side, and I went back and found it on Dirty Mind. And I think the song Guitar and also Get Off are really good late Prince songs. Yeah, totally. And then I got Let's Work on there. I think Prince in his later career did some albums that weren't consistent but still made great singles. So I think if you go back and look at the singles he issued off those later albums, you're going to find some really good stuff. Alphabet Street is just cute, and I once saw it on a children's show and thought it was amazing too. Mm-hmm. So I've always had an endearment to that song for my kids. Yeah,
very cool. All right, and then we wanted to talk, here are the songs that only got
one vote. Yeah, so look in closely, the whole deal. Folks, let's see, 1,000 X's and O's and Christian, Ballad of Dorothy Parker, Back Dance, Beautiful Ones, Billy Jack Bitch, Breakdown, Chlorine Bacon Skin. I don't even know what that is. Does anyone know what that is? Who voted for that? Okay. Condition of the Heart, Crystal Ball, Diamonds and Pearls, Dream Factory, Dreamer, Face Down, Get Off, God, Guitar Head, Hot Thing, Housequake, Insatiable, Jack You Off, Joy and Repetition, Let's Pretend We're Married, Let's Work. That was me. Let It Go, Money Don't Matter Tonight, Musicology, Party Man, Party Up, also me, Peach, Pink Cashmere, I think that was Ed, right? Rope, Ronnie, Talk to Russia. What is that, by the way? Is that a Ramones song? A song he wrote from the Ramones? She's Always in My Hair, Sister, Tambourine the Cross, Thieves in the Temple, Thunder, You Got the Look, and finally, Violet the Organ Grinder.
Yeah. Somehow You Got the Look only got one vote. That's amazing. True, to me. Man. All right. So here's the chance. Does anybody want to talk about a song that did not make the top 15 that is like one of your favorite songs?
Yeah, Seven.
All right. Talk about it, Brad.
Go, Brad.
I don't know. Like, I don't understand why people don't like Seven.
It got a lot of votes, actually.
Well, tell us why. Tell people why you like it.
It's a great song. Like, you know. Yeah. Seven. I've been drinking a little too much. So
is Prince. Brad, it actually got 9 votes. So it came within a sniff of the top 15.
Okay, sweet.
So it definitely got votes. Yep.
Cool.
If I was your girlfriend, Mackenzie Crenshaw says that's one of her favorites.
Oh,
Mackenzie?
Yeah.
I love Mackenzie.
All right,
Mackenzie.
Speak up.
Yes, it is one of my favorites. It has like a really, it's really sparse for a Prince song. There's not a lot of backing stuff going on, but his voice is pitched up, I'm pretty sure. And I don't think it was intentional. I think that the person who was doing the boards actually accidentally pitched it up, but he liked it and he kept it. Wow. So he has a really high falsetto on it, but I really like that song. And I don't really usually like songs that have like talking bits in it, but it works for him. It's a weird song, especially for when it was released. I think it was a little bit of ahead of its time. It didn't do super well on the charts, if I remember correctly. But I really like that song.
So, Mackenzie, I got to ask you, like you were talking about, at least in your votes and some of your comments, that Parade was, you were little when Parade came out. Did you go back and listen to the early stuff? And what did you think about that, if you did?
So my parents are really big Prince fans. So when I was really little, like I said, one of my earliest memories is hearing like Black Sweat in the car. I don't know why they were playing it. but I have like very vivid memories of Prince. And so when I got older and I started getting into collecting like cassettes and vinyl, I inherited theirs. And so I mean, I've listened to his entire discography since I was a very little kid.
And how did you put it together? I mean, how did you, you know, from when you were brought up, piece together his early stuff and his middle stuff and, you know, his later stuff?
So when I started getting into, I guess, like the history of music, I was really drawn to his early stuff because it was really similar to the funk and R&B from the 60s that in early 70s that I really liked.
Yeah.
Because I really liked James Brown. I liked, you know, Sly and the Family Stone. And his music from the late 70s and into the early 80s was really similar to that. And then as his music went on through the 80s and there was a little bit more influence from rock, some new wave, I kind of was able to piece it together. So that's like one of the benefits, I guess, now, the way that I have access to like the entire history of music on my phone.
Totally.
Is it's really easy to like piece together artists' progressions based off of the music that they were being influenced by.
Right. God bless your generation that you're able to do that. It cost me a lot of money to do that. But,
so cool.
Yeah, okay. So thank you, Mackenzie. That's great. And
really good.
And I guess just one more question, Mackenzie. Like, did you follow his later work? And how did you feel, you know, like when you sort of drew up to him, you know, kind of in life and kind of as he was going on? What did you feel about the whole later period?
So when I was growing up, I heard most of the mid to late 80s, early 90s because of my parents. And that's when they were in college and young adults, that's what they had. I didn't get into his older work really till after he died. And when he died, I went back and started listening to some of the stuff that I hadn't necessarily been exposed to as much. And I like it. I think it might have been Jim who said it's inconsistent. That's a good word to describe it.
Yeah.
But there is definitely some good singles and some good songs out of that period. But I prefer personally actually some of his earliest work into the mid 80s.
Cool. Yep. Thank you. Yeah, I'm right there with you. That makes me feel a little bit better about how I gauged it. So thank you, Mackenzie.
Very cool. A couple more songs people have mentioned here. Mike Wagner, you want to talk about Take Me With You?
Oh, that is my absolute favorite Prince song. I played it in like my kids, like we were talking about earlier, I said I was going to listen to this. I was like, can you guys guess my favorite Prince song? And they're like, oh, duh. They play it all the time in the car. And they've known us since they were kids. I never understood why it was not a massive, massive hit. It hits me that way.
What'd you like about it so much, Mike?
Yeah.
The beginning drums that, you know, I mean, it's really 80s drums, right? But they sound really cool, right? That's fantastic. His vocal performance is great. And the high background vocals, fantastic. I just love that song. And I was really sad I was the only one who voted for the Pope. I just love that song. I'm surprised somebody else didn't vote for it. I play that song all the time too.
It only got one vote. Yeah.
Not when the kids are at a young age, but God, that is a great song. Well, if you haven't heard it, like go back and find it. It's fantastic.
It makes me happy, Jim, when we do these countdowns that some people vote for one song and they sort of hold it together and like rock it.
Yeah.
They hold it close to them. Right.
Nurture it, right? It's their song.
Yeah, that's right. Little Harrison, yeah, I'm going to hold it.
Didn't you say you had, like, this was like the widest variety?
By far, Mike. Yeah, by like three times. Yeah, not even close. I mean, it was... And if you included cover songs, it was almost three times as big.
Oh, I want to get to that in a second here real quick. But first off, let's get to a couple more songs. Ed, you say you love Black Sweat?
Love Black Sweat, yes. That is the last great Prince era. Like that, Incense and Candles, a lot of that stuff that just did not get a lot of love at the time, I play it to death.
Wow.
Love that era.
Cool.
And a couple people mentioned the song Paisley Park. Does anybody want to advocate for that?
It was, to me, it was a zen song for Prince. I mean, he sounded like he was happy, he was having fun, and Paisley Park is a place to be where everyone is just goes to have a great time. And, you know, he did get a couple of political digs in there, you know, something like who says the elephant is stronger than the mule or something along those lines.
Right.
So, but I mean, he was just having fun and it's where he wants it to be.
Yeah. Very good. And then, Petrillo and Annie Christian.
Well, that's just one of a few songs that people mentioned. The top 10 or the top 15 ended up being all his pop, silly sing along. I mean, they're all classic. But I loved how controversy had sexuality, it had controversy. He was answering to a lot of critics at the time, like, you know, about his race, about his sexuality. So Ronnie Talked to Russia, I assume. I didn't do a deep dive on that song. I assume it's about Reagan. Like, he went through a phase where he was trying to be everything, not just a superstar. Like, he wanted to comment on politics and, you know, like the inner city and like the trouble, you know. Some of this, you know, Sign of the Times could have been released this year and resonate. So,
right.
You know,
totally. Sure. Yeah.
I just want to give a shout out for earlier in his career, before he became a Jehovah's Witness, he really focused more on everyone and every inclusive and everything. And like, I would have been.
And EPJ, I'd be interested to hear, because you put on your vote and you wrote a very eloquent thing about some of his early RAR songs. Like, what is your take on that? Do you think he was doing that to get attention? Do you think he was doing that to express the way he felt? Like, how do you feel, you know, some of those early songs, Jack You Off, Head, Sister, like all that early stuff that's super raw. I mean, what's your take on that as far as in the broader perspective?
It could just be the simple answer that just Americans are so uptight about sexuality.
Right.
And he's saying, like somebody was saying about his guitar, could win over the most, oh, I don't like R&B. That right. guitar could win you over.
Right.
Like, I don't like dirty music. Yeah, but it's so catchy and it's so funny and it doesn't make you feel dirty. It right. makes you want to get up and dance.
And we all have those feelings, right?
Yeah. I listened to it with my cousin and my brother, and there wasn't any weird feelings. It was just like, oh, this is awesome. Like, it's dirt, you know, Head, Sister, Party Up, Jack You Off. You know, so many songs.
Right.
Do Me Baby. Nobody yeah. mentioned that song.
Well, that got some votes. That got 3 votes.
But 1999 was a sprawling double album, you know, with International Lover and Dance Music, Sex Romance. Like, there's, you know, he had so much breadth to his, you know, his career.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's one of the, you know, that's one of the things that I think, in the bigger picture, when you look at his career, you know, how many American men, let's just boil it down that way, wrote this many songs, created this much literature, right? Created this much art, and also expanded into films, and also was instantly recognizable. And also, let's talk about the fact that at one point, he decided to completely drop his own name. Like, he was no longer going to go by words or letters made by Americans or people in the U.S. He was going to go by a symbol. Like, who did that? No one did that. Like, who's ever said, I'm going to drop my entire persona?
Who gives away hit songs like Manic Monday and the Sinead O'Connor hit? You know, he was exploding with, you know, songs in the 80s.
Yeah, I just find this amazing too, that at his sort of artistic peak, he was giving away songs to other people, and this was just, these are all pretty much in the 80s, just these right. like huge hit songs
right.
for other artists that he wrote. Yeah.
I mean, Manic Monday, come on, man. Like, that's just a song you gave away. I Feel For You, holy crap.
Yeah,
I think, okay. Jim, to sum it up, it's one of the greatest artistic legacies in American history. It's up there with Creedence Clearwater Revival. It's up there with Springsteen. It's up there with the Stooges. I mean, it's up there with the Velvet Underground. It's up there with anybody you could name, without a doubt.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks,
give yourselves
everyone.
A round of applause. You guys did a great job. And
thank you
for everyone who voted
much.
In the poll. And we so appreciate it, and we had a great time. And
let's thank our special guests, Ed Bowser and Ricky yep. Peterson, for coming on. That yes. was really nice. Really great.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great night. If you want to hang out for a little while, I'm going to go pour some bourbon, and we can still talk more. But as far as the podcast goes,
right.
we're going to stop recording
now,
right?
I might put a wig on and come back in a little bit. But I want to thank everyone, and hope you guys have a great Labor Day. And thank you for your interest in Prince and in our podcast. I mean, we have a lot of fun doing this, but we genuinely appreciate your input, and we couldn't do it without you. So thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you.
All right, let's get nuts.
one last comment. He was an early Casio hero.
Yes.
Because of Delirious. Totally. I've been trying to play it all night, but...
There it is.